Let's go ahead. The name of the teaching tonight is Taking Advantage of the Advantage. Taking Advantage of the Advantage. And then I have there Strengthened with Might. I was thinking, you know, faith can only work, or faith, you can only act on faith where the will of God is known. If you don't know what the will of God is, then you're going to have a hard time acting in faith and acting according to that word because you're unsure what it is. But when you know what the word of God is, says, then you can apply that word, you can take hold of it, and you can apply it, and you can then act on it with faith. So let's take a look at Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. One of the areas that I feel my calling is in is to help people understand what's been given to them, help them understand the covenant, help them understand the kingdom rights and privileges. I see many people within the body of Christ that are living far below that. A lot of them have been taught incorrectly. A lot of them just, there's ignorance there. They're not in the word. But part of my calling is I'm trying to get people to understand what's given to you, understand the covenant, so that you can apply this and you can begin to live in a greater area of victory. I like Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Did you hear that? It is the power of God unto salvation. The word of God, the message of the word, the message of the cross, is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation is a word that means healing and wholeness. It is the power of God unto wholeness. Not just being saved and going to heaven one day. It is the power of God unto wholeness. It is the kingdom benefit. It is the covenant that's been given to us. Our rights and our privileges therein. So let's take a look at Ephesians 3, this is a prayer that Paul was praying. And he said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Do you know that there's one family? Part of us is on earth and part of it's in heaven, amen? But you're part of that heavenly family. "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory." Ooh, that sounds good right there. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory." Can I get excited tonight? Is that okay? Because I have a hard time reading the word and not getting excited. When I see things like "that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory," I'm like, wow! Okay. "According to the riches of it." You can't read the book of Ephesians and not get excited. I'm sorry. You can't do it. Maybe you can't. I can't. So according to the riches of glory. Why? "To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ, the anointed one, may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge." Oh, are you ready for this? "That you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Come on, somebody. Did that do something for you right there? "That you may be filled with the fullness of God." First time I read that, I went, get out of town. You mean that? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, I like that. Let's take a look at that in the Amplified Version. "May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory," I like that, "to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality." Whoo! Anybody up for some mighty power? Anybody say, "I want to be strengthened with his might. I want to live in the fullness that he has promised to me." Amen. Let's read on. "That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves," living it out, "the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God may have the richest measure of the divine presence, whew, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now, I got news for you. Yes, this was a prayer that Paul was praying. But did you know that Paul prayed the will of God? The Bible tells us that all Scripture is inspired of God. It is divinely set forth. And so we see that Paul praying this, he is obviously praying, this is the will of God. He got this from the Lord Himself. Well, let's take a look at this strengthened with might. You have to understand as we read through that, that this is the will of God for you. This is what's available to you every day. And so I was thinking about last year. We just come into the new year. You don't have to live the way you lived last year. Some of you said, well, it was pretty good last year. Well, I'm happy for you. That's great. But you know, you can take a step up. There's more. You haven't experienced it all. And for those of you that had a rough year last year, here's the good news. You can be strengthened with might for this year and walk in the newness of the fullness of God. Strengthened with might. Let's take a look at those words. That word strengthened is a word that it means realized, demonstrated. It means manifested strength. I like manifested strength. I like things that don't just stay inside the Bible. I like them to come off the page, and I like them to be functioning in my everyday life. How about you? It's good to read about it, but I want to have it manifested in my life. And the Lord's saying, well, I want to have it manifested in your life as well. In fact, the very word that he used in the Greek language means manifested strength. Now, the root word of this word, notice it's K-R-A-T. That root word of that is the word kratos. And this word is one of the Greek power words, a very strong word. In fact, this word is used in Ephesians 1:19 and 20 when it talks about Christ being raised from the dead by his mighty power. And so it's talking about that word kratos means, it means it's something that's manifested, something that you can see, something that you can feel. When you might think of an earthquake, and that happened during the resurrection, there was an earthquake, the earth shook, okay? That was that type of power being manifested. It's something that's tangible, something you can feel, something you could hear. It's a power that's just not a concept. It's a power that's in manifestation. So you could say that this is resurrection power. Okay? Resurrection power. Well, let's look at that word might. It's the word dunamis. And it means miraculous power. It means that word duna, D-U-N-A. Every word in the Greek language that starts with the word D-U-N-A, duna, means capable or being able. Capable. So here, whether it's dunamis, it's talking about capable power. Power that is able. It's capable. You might think of the word dynamite. Now, you have a stick of dynamite. There's no problem with that stick of dynamite. There's no problem at all. Until you do what? Light it. So it has capable power in that stick of dynamite. It's very capable, and there's a lot of power there. It just hasn't manifested yet. And so this word dunamis, strengthened with might, dunamis power, miraculous power. Think of that. He wants to infuse your life with miraculous power, with a power that's so miraculous and so available that it comes forth in the natural. Something that is manifested. This prayer that Paul was praying was not a weak prayer, but one born out of the revelation of what has been provided to us through Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, through the establishing of the new covenant. Our being one with Christ and enjoying all of his rights and privileges that he has afforded to us as children of God, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans. Well, let's take a look at that phrase, filled with all the fullness of God. This is actually talking about the Holy Spirit in us. That you have nothing lacking within yourself. You have all of His resources. And through this, it is tapped into to its fullest in your life through the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you haven't been through OSL, we're going to be starting OSL Level 1 coming up in February. And you need to get into OSL Level 2 because we cover the baptism with the Holy Spirit in great detail. We really dive into it. And it's amazing what God has had. And people end up being baptized in the Holy Spirit there, speaking in tongues. They get their prayer language. It is awesome. Satan's goal is to convince you that the Word will not work for you. Oh, it'll work for Pastor Gary, but it won't work for you. That's Satan's goal. He wants to convince you that you are weak and powerless as a believer. His aim is to create intense pressure in your life so that you will give up and you will quit. You will draw back. He wants you to begin to doubt God's word and His ability to deliver. Let's take a look at King David, some of King David's life. Did you know that King David, he understood some pressure? Did you know that he went through pressure? If you've ever read anything about King David, you know that he went through a lot of pressure. Psalm 74, verses 10 and 11. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Version. David is speaking here and he says, "O God, how long is the adversary to scoff and reproach?" Anybody else ever felt like that? How long, Lord, is this going to go on? How long is the enemy going to scoff and reproach? Is the enemy to blaspheme and revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand? Sometimes we feel like God is holding back His hand. Why do you hold back your hand, even your right hand? Draw it out of your bosom and consume them. Make an end of them. We see here that David was a real human being. Did great things. Mighty man of God. Gave us many of the Psalms and did some wonderful things. But we see that he got caught up in his flesh and his emotions like we do oftentimes as well. David was familiar with pressure and the dealings of his humanity and emotions. Let's look at another one, Psalms 89. And this is verse 46 and 47. Here he is saying kind of the same thing. How long, Lord? How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Can you imagine David sitting there? Hello? Hey, God? Hello? We don't live that long here. I know you do, but we don't. I'm getting older. Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all of the children of men? Is that true? Has God created mankind out of futility? And that word futility is talking about uselessness, vanity, or worthlessness. Is that why He created man? No, because there's another scripture there that says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Amen. So this is David at a very low point in his life, and his flesh is rising up. But you know, the one thing that I like about David, he didn't stay there. He'd catch himself. And so I'm glad he wrote these things down for us, because we can relate to him. And we see that, you know, sometimes we look at the Bible characters, we just think that they never had a bad day. And David's letting us know, yeah, I've had a few bad days. But guess what? I came out of that too, and I went on into a good day. And so it's clear that David felt like that from time to time, that time was running out, and he was trying to convince God of the urgency. Though David was discouraged, he never gave up. And here's one thing I like about David. He always brings it back to the covenant. He always brings it back to who his God is. Let's look at Psalm 94, verses 22 and 23, and I have this in the King James Version. But the Lord is my defense. Covenant. I like that. And my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yes, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Look at the definites that he's saying. He knows his covenant. He knows who his God is. He understands that there's a relationship there. And he understands what God will do in his behalf. David always got back to the covenant and its promises and rose up with strength and determination. And he came through his battles a winner. Amen. He waited on the Lord. He waited it through. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. Well, that's a good illustration for us. We need to determine within our lives that we're not going to faint. We're not going to quit. I always like to say it this way. We need to come to the place in life where you determine within yourself that quitting is not an option. Have you determined that for your life yet? Quitting is not an option. When you come to that place where you decide that quitting is not an option, then you've won. You've already disabled the devil. He has no defense against that because the circumstances in life can't overtake you to the point of making you quit. It's you that make the decision to agree with his discouragement, and then you become really your own worst enemy. But if you will not quit, he has no defense against that. The Apostle Paul knew hardship as well. Anybody ever read Paul's checklist? I like the checklist of hardships that he's gone through. He had been shipwrecked, beaten with rods, whipped, stoned and left for dead, snake bit, imprisoned, and falsely accused. That's quite a resume right there. He knew Satan's tactics and the pressure that all of us as believers come up against. That's why he prayed that we would be strengthened with might in our inner man as we lean upon our covenant-keeping God. Did you know that that's how Paul got through that? The reason why Paul is praying this in Ephesians chapter 3 is because that's how he lives. There's a revelation that he had of the covenant of God, of the power of the Holy Spirit, of who we are in Christ and what belongs to us. And Paul lived this out. And so when he was praying this in Ephesians 3, he wants the churches, he's writing to the church in Ephesus, but he wanted these letters to be passed around to the different churches. And he wanted them to experience this firm foundation of faith that he had learned to, that he had come to know. Let's look at Galatians 6:9. And again, I'm going to read this in the Amplified version. I love the Amplified. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint. Did you see that? Let us not lose heart, grow weary, and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap. If we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Can you see here in Galatians 6:9 that it's up to us? We have the decision-making ability for the destiny of our life, for the implementation of the destiny that God has ordained for us to walk in. We have that pivotal right to stand firm in faith or to draw back. To lose heart, to grow weary, and to faint. You can see here in this passage, it's not the circumstances that will overtake you. It's you that can overtake yourself through your decision-making process. The circumstances are just there to present themselves to you to get you to form a to make a decision based on the evidence that you see, that the evidence is stronger than God's word. The evidence is more sure than the word of God. And then you make a decision to do something else. We've got to develop the mindset that quitting is not an option. His mighty power resides within you. I like that, what we read in the beginning, filled with all the fullness of God, strengthened with his might, with his kratos power. I like that. With his dunamis power within us. His mighty power resides within you now. You have it now. We need to allow his plan to manifest by standing firm. Well, having come to this understanding, then what should we do in a crisis? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, 13 and 14. Again, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. This is talking about the full or the whole armor of God in Ephesians. And he says, therefore, put on God's complete armor. I like that. Complete armor. All inclusive. In other words, you don't want to go around with anything missing. You want to have the complete armor that God has given to you. That you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. That you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. Did you see that? You've been equipped. You've been equipped by the Lord Jesus Christ to resist. When I hear people say, I just couldn't resist that. Well, that's not what the Word says. The Word says you can resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place, stand therefore, hold your ground. These statements that are written here in this section of Scripture are written in military terms, as from a commanding officer to his troops. When you look at it in the voice, tense, and mood of the Greek language, it's written in commands, in the command style. It's not a suggestion. He is speaking as the overseer to the churches, and he's saying, look, I understand this. You need to understand it. Here's the way it is. Walk this way. Do this. He's saying, and if you look at the actual Greek, it's the imperative mood, and it's actually a command that says, and he says, stand firm, hold your ground. Then he goes on to tell them how to stand, how to resist. And in Ephesians 6, 14 and 18, he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now he's going to talk about the whole armor of God. I remember, years ago, this was in the 90s, there was people that had a little song and they'd get up in the morning and I remember somebody telling me this, and I heard different people doing it. They says, every morning when I get up, I put on the whole armor of God. Every morning. And I say a song, and they'd go through this little song, you know. I put on the belt, I put on the shoes of peace, and they went through this whole thing. Breastplate of righteousness, taking this shield and the helmet, and they're going through this whole thing. And I remember I'd listened to it for so many people saying this to me, and I finally stopped one person, and I said, let me ask you a question. You do this every day? Yeah, I do it every day. I don't go out of the house until I do it. And I says, why'd you ever take it off? Why'd you ever take it off? I don't take mine off. I live this way all the time. I said, I don't want to take it off. That's dangerous to take it off. I don't have to put it on every day. I walk in this every day. And the person kind of batted their eyes at me. Anyway, they probably thought I was rude. I was mean. But it's a truth. We can, through these little nuances in life, we can catch ourselves into believing something that's not true. Anyway, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, the word of God, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, knowing who you are in Christ, that you are one with Him. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Whew, that's a good one. Preparation. That word preparation means, it means foundation and firm footing. And if you look at the Roman, the centurions and the Roman army of the day, which Paul, when he was in prison writing, he saw them and he was taking note of the centurion standing there and the different armor, the different things he had on. But at the Roman army, their shoes, when you see that, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, some Bibles say the shoes of peace. That sounds too weak. It's not the way it was. Those shoes that they wore, have you ever seen baseball cleats? And they have those big metal, I'm not talking about the ones that little leaguers, I'm talking about the real baseball cleats. They have metal cleats on them. They have little metal teeth that hang down so that that guy can dig into the ground. Why does he do that? So he won't lose his footing. So when he's playing, he can dig in. If somebody hits him, he's not moving. And so this is the way the Romans were. They had actually big nails, big cleat things on their shoes. They could dig themselves in to where when they swung that sword, they could hit. Because if they get knocked off their feet, off their foundation, then they could be dead meat. But if they could stand their ground and dig in, they're gonna be a better warrior on the battlefield. Not only that, those shoes had nails sticking out the front of them. And so when they got it, when they're in battle, they could kick somebody and really inflict some damage. So when you see the having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that is anything but mamby-pamby and weak. That is talking about you've been equipped to hold on to your wholeness and don't let it go. Dig your feet in. Get secure on your foundation. Know who you are in Christ and stand your ground and don't let that low-level devil come around and take it away from you. Praise God. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all. Notice he didn't say some. He said all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, everything else has been defensive weaponry. Now, all of a sudden, he got to the good stuff. He got to the sword. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Interesting fact here, that where you see the word word is the word rhema, and it means the spoken word. And so I've heard a lot of people lift their Bible and say, well, I got my sword right here. No, you don't. You got your Bible. It's not a sword till it comes out of your mouth. It's not a sword till you begin to speak the word. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. Now look at this, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer. He didn't say praying sometimes, did he? He didn't say praying if you feel like it. He said, your life as a warrior in the army of God is that you need to be praying always. Remember, he's talking about weaponry here. He's talking about the armor of God. He's talking about you being in a fight, in a battle, and you're going to, and Paul's trying to equip you to come through that thing a winner, to come out the other side a winner, a champion. And he says, here's how you do it. You fight knowing who you are. You've got to know, first of all, who you are in the Lord. He says, you've got to know that you've got a weapon that is above any other weapon. It's the armory, the weaponry of God. You've been equipped with the Word of God. Internalize it, take hold of it, and begin to speak it out. Believe it, receive it, and act upon it. He says, then, praying always with all prayer and supplication or petition in the Spirit. In the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints or all the brothers and sisters in the Lord, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, Then he says, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication. You know what he's saying there? Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. You need to be a person of prayer. You need to be building yourself up in prayer. You need to be praying in the Spirit. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is a gift that God has given to you to come through this life a winner. And do not negate this. Make sure this is a part of your life, Paul is saying. Praying always in the Spirit. And he says, be watchful to this end. Be careful that you don't let this go in your life. Hold on to this. I can't tell you how many people over the years that I have met that I'll ask them, I said, are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes, brother. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 50 years ago. Amen. I said, well, do you do it? They look at me like, what do you mean? Do you do it? Do you pray in the Spirit? Well, yeah, from time to time. We have in our church meetings. That's not what Paul was saying. Do you do it every day? Is this a part of your life? And a lot of people don't like that when I say that to them. Paul said it. I got a hold of this probably about 5 years ago, and it changed my life, revolutionized my life. When I got to understand the fullness of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I got to understand what praying in the Spirit is all about, I began to implement this in my life every day. And I try to get an hour, 2 hours, sometimes I get 3 hours in every day. And I just pray in the Spirit, and I have seen my life change dramatically because of this exercise. I have seen healing, the manifestation of health, go way up in my life. I have seen just things crumble and come up that the enemy tries to bring just break apart. And I attribute it to using the weaponry that God has given us here in Ephesians. When you pray in the Spirit, you're downloading divine secrets from God into your spirit. It's powerful. You don't want to be without it. You've got to know who you are and whose you are and what belongs to you. You're equipped for the challenge and you're destined to win if you don't quit. If you don't allow the enemy to convince you to lay down what's been given to you. Well, we've got to learn the benefits of prayer. Let's take a look at Luke 18, verse 1 in the Amplified. It says, also Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. What sounds like Paul right there? Well, I know why. Paul got it from Jesus. Amen. That men ought always to pray and not to turn coward. And it says, faint, lose heart, and give up. They ought always to pray and not to turn coward. Well, this here with Jesus saying this tells me something. It says that if I cease to pray, then I'm susceptible to turning coward. Or I'm susceptible to fainting. I'm more susceptible to losing heart. I'm more susceptible for giving up. In other words, if I don't pray, and I don't make this a practice in my life, then I'm setting myself up for defeat. Because I'm, I hate to say it this way, energizing or equipping. I'm equipping myself for failure. You see the difference there? Praying or turning coward? Faint, lose heart, give up. In other words, that faint, lose heart, and giving up is a person who is not strengthened with might. The person who operates in prayer is strengthened with might. Just as proper diet, exercise, and rest will build up a strong resistance against sickness, praying, and I'm going to say it this way, especially in the Spirit, will build up and strengthen your inner man. To avoid fainting, losing heart, or giving up, learn how to pray in the Spirit. Learn how to become sensitive. Now, somebody in here might say, well, brother, I'm not baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yes, but you can still get alone with the Lord. And you can still become sensitive to the Spirit. And you can still start your prayer time with praise and worship in English. And just allow that sensitivity of His Spirit. Will He meet you there because you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. And then you know what you can do when you start that? You can then ask Him, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit while you're worshiping. And just do that every day. Ask Him. Say, Lord, your word says it's for me. I receive it today. Thank you for filling me. Thank you for giving me the evidence of speaking in tongues, Lord. Give me my heavenly language so I can pray in the Spirit. And as you do that, you'll get it. You'll get it. Praise God. He wants you to have it. Well, let's look at Jude 20. Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I like this scripture. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now notice it's talking about when you're praying in the Spirit, you're building yourself up. But I want you to notice something else there. Did you see that? Keep yourselves in the love of God. There's a connection here. There's a comma there between praying in the Holy Spirit, comma, then keep yourselves in the love of God. There's a connection when we pray in the Spirit that it brings us into the agape love of God. How can it not? When we're praying in the Spirit, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way. And who is Jesus? The Bible says God is love. Amen? If God is love, this is the Spirit of God. God is love. So you will help yourself to walk in and move in the agape love of God. Well, let's look at that word, that phrase, building yourselves up. But you, brethren, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That word, that phrase, building yourself up, it literally means in the Greek language, it means to build or erect a superstructure. To build or erect a superstructure. It means to edify. I like this one. It means to rear up. To rear up. You know what that tells me? Power. Power. When I hear rear up, now I'm older, so it reminds me of the Lone Ranger. Remember that? He got up on his horse. Oh, you don't remember that. That was my best horse imitation, too. To erect the superstructure, to edify. When you pray in the Spirit, you're working on something. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're building something on the inside of you. You're building up, you're building yourself up. You're building up the inner man. You're edifying yourself. The word edify means to build up or make strong. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So we have a couple of scriptures that agree there that say that when you pray in the Spirit, you are building yourself up. You are working on a superstructure. I don't know about you, but when I hear superstructure, that just sounds strong. Does that sound strong to you? I don't want to walk through life getting beat up and knocked around by some devil. How about you? I want to come out a winner. I want some of that manifested power to be functioning in my life. Amen? I want that devil, when I open my eyes in the morning, I want him to scream. I want to hear him say, oh no, he's awake. Oh, jeez. Why couldn't he just sleep in a little longer? That's what I want him to be doing. How about you? Praise God. Ephesians 6:10. Now this is the introduction, Ephesians 6:10, to the section of what we call the whole armor of God. That section where Paul is talking about spiritual warfare and how we, the church, need to be equipped to win. Equipped for the battle, that with the wrestling that we walk through in this life because of demonic forces. And look at what he says here. You could really miss it. There's so much in this one verse. I'm excited. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How many times have you read that one sentence and just went on and not even taken note of that one sentence? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, that's not how he said it. Again, this is written in military terms, and this phrase is written in a command structure. He's going, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's how he, if you were there with Paul, that's how he would have said it. But did you know something? That word finally is an interesting word. When you come across the word finally, you know what it's really saying in old literature? It's saying, if you've missed everything up to this point, pay attention, because what I'm about to say is going to, you need to know what I'm getting ready to say. If you've missed it all up to this point, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. That's the word finally. Finally, my brethren, now here he goes. Be strong in the Lord. Be this way. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In this last phrase, be strong in the Lord and power of his might, there are three of the four Greek power words in that one phrase. And the first one is be strong. And it's the word in dunamo. And it's two words, en, and then dunamis. Remember that word dunamis? Capable power, miraculous power, always used of God, talking about God's power in us, dunamis power, dynamite power. And so this is en dunamis. I believe, I'm just going to tell you right up front, I believe with all my heart that Ephesians 6:10, because of all the study I've done in this one phrase, this is my opinion, but I've studied it out, I strongly believe he is talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit here, because of the words that he uses here. Within dunamo, have that miraculous power at work in you. Have it functioning within you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power. That word power, guess what word that is? Kratos. Kratos. Power. It means demonstrative power. Power that is realized, tangible, manifested. Remember what we said? Resurrection power. So he says, have God's miraculous power at work on the inside of you. And walk in such a way that his Kratos power is functioning in you and manifestations are taking place in your life. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word might is iskus, and it means forcefulness. Used here, it denotes a person like a bodybuilder with extremely strong arms. So you might say it's God's muscle, God's strength, God's muscular power. So he says, be strong, have that power functioning on the inside of you to where it brings forth a manifested power that is realized and tangible in your life, a power that is so strong that is brought forth by God's muscles, God's strength at work in you. Paul is now saying to us, be this way, live this way. This is how you're supposed to live your life. Don't neglect this. In our opening scripture in Ephesians 3, Paul was praying that we would come to the understanding of what's been deposited in us and begin to develop in him. Did you know that Paul moved in some unusual ways, had some unusual miracles in his life? If you look at Acts 19:11, it says that now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. That word unusual in the Greek language means this. It means special, means not common. Deeper than that, it means hitting the mark. Hitting the mark. In other words, God worked through Paul in such a way that Luke is writing the book of Acts, Dr. Luke. He's been with a lot of these guys. But he looks at Paul and he says, Paul's got a higher realm of miracles working in his life. They're not common. They're not like the other disciples, though they were doing great miracles. He says, Paul's got something that is special. It's not common. But what Paul is doing is hitting the mark every time. These miracles hit the mark. And they bring forth the desire, what the person is desiring in their life. And Luke said that they were unusual. Well, let's see something else about Paul's life. In 1 Corinthians 14:18, look what Paul says. He says, I thank my God. Go back. He said, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, you got to understand who he's writing to. He's writing to the church at Corinth. They were the most, they had the most spiritual gifts happening in their church body. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They all spoke in tongues. They were giving messages in tongues and interpretation. They had gifts of miracles, gifts of healing taking place. They were prophesying. This church had so, they were very charismatic. They had all kinds of gifts happening. And Paul says to this church, he says, I thank my God that I pray in tongues, I speak with tongues more than all of you. What a statement to make to these people. In other words, what is Paul saying? I live my life in an unusual manner. I saw that there's such a power here to be had. I see that the covenant is so strong that I walk in because of what the Lord's been showing me. I see the value of taking the time to not be distracted, to be using that gift of being baptized with the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit. I see that there is such a benefit that comes from it that I do this throughout the day. I pray way more than you guys pray in tongues. I'm always doing this. And then we see Luke saying, at Paul's hands, we see, when he lays hands on the sick, we see unusual miracles taking place. He's hitting the mark. I want to suggest something to you. You have the opportunity in your life to live in an unusual way. Other believers may think you're fanatical. People may look at me that way. I don't know. But I've learned something, that this is a value in my life, and I'm not going to let it go. Yes, it's unusual. I've got to shut some things off in my life. I've got to get up earlier to do this. I've got to make time for it. Why? Because it's important. And I've seen over the years, it's not a quick fix, but I've seen over the years that I've been faithful in doing this, I've seen a lot of things come up, way up, and change within my life. I see when I read the Word that revelation knowledge is coming a lot quicker. I see that when I take time to hear God's voice, I'm hearing a lot quicker. I see that if I had the time, which I don't, to tell you of some of the miracles that have happened in my personal life because of praying in the Spirit. Instant miracles that have taken place. It's such a gift, such a precious, precious gift, that no one can convince me to ever let it go. I want to be like Paul. I want to walk in the unusual. To walk in the unusual, I've got to do something that's unusual, that's different from the status quo. I want to be strengthened with might. And if I want to be strengthened with might, since I want the outflow, I've got to have the inflow. Amen? If you want the outflow, you've got to have the inflow. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, therefore do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. who was writing this, Paul? He says, yeah, I go through some stuff in life. And he says, but I've learned how to renew my inner man, and that is through spending quality time with the Lord and praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit in His might, His strength daily will keep you spiritually fit and on the cutting edge. The word might in the dictionary means this, the power and authority with capable resources to do something. It means force and or strength. Paul prayed that our inner man would be strengthened with might so that we could accomplish all that he has called us to do. Look at Colossians 1, 10 through 12. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, fully fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his precious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I like that last statement. Who has qualified us? Did you know that you're qualified? You're qualified as a partaker of this inheritance. It belongs to you now. It's yours. Take a step up. Go deeper into things that's been provided for you. This is our inheritance because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, who qualified us to become partakers of this inheritance. Don't be deceived into thinking otherwise. Through His might, we cannot be defeated. We cannot fail. And no circumstances or demon is capable of overcoming us if we will not quit. Matthew 19:26 says this, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible. Jesus was talking to them about wealthy people and who would about them going in who their material possessions are their God, and he said with them it's difficult for them to become saved because of their possessions, because that's their God, that's what they lean on. He said, but, and so the disciples said, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The phrase all things means or denotes that nothing is left out. All things are possible. It's all inclusive. Whenever seemingly, you've got to understand this, whenever seemingly impossible situations come your way, they are possible through the Spirit of might. Now I'm going to give you three quick keys as I close. These are going to be fast. Three keys to unlock the power of might in your life. Number one, proper diet. Oh, you just shut me off right there, didn't you? Proper diet. Well, let me explain what I mean by proper diet, okay? Feed on the Word of God daily. It is your fuel for your strength and faith. Proper exercise. Pray in the Spirit daily. This will build you up with His power and might. And proper rest. Wait on the Lord through personal praise and worship, basking in His presence, allowing spiritual refreshing to take place in your life. I don't know if you've ever waited on the Lord. It's when you begin to pray in the Spirit. You can, if you sing in the Spirit, pray and speak in the Spirit, you can sing in the Spirit. I like to worship the Lord and sing in the Spirit. And I just worship Him for a little while, let a song come out of my heart. Just free worship. It's not a song that anybody's ever heard. It's a fresh song that just comes out of me. I begin to worship the Lord and sing to the Lord. Sometimes it's in English, and then I go back to the Spirit, and I just begin to love on the Lord. And then after a little while, I just get quiet. Just get quiet. Psalms 100, I think it's verse 4, says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. For a person to worship the Lord and then walk away, you've missed something. Because you've just entered into the gates with thanksgiving. You just entered into the depths of His courts with praise. You're right there. You're in His throne room. And all of a sudden, well, I'm done worshiping and we walk away. You just missed a golden opportunity to hear from God. Learn to worship Him. Learn to love on Him. And then just, shh, get quiet.
get quiet. You'll sense His presence around you. You just bask in that presence and allow His refreshing to minister to you, His Spirit to minister to you. You may not hear anything, but I guarantee you when you walk out of that place, you are changed. You are different. Your body has been invigorated by His Spirit. It's something that exercise is something that'll change your life. You'll notice revelation knowledge coming through the Word a lot quicker to you, understanding coming a lot quicker to you, because you're taking time to be sensitive to His Spirit. You know something that I'm just Book of Revelation. Have you ever taken note of when John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day"? Have you ever thought what that meant? Have you ever thought what John was doing when he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day"? He was being sensitive. He was worshiping. He was in the Spirit. He was taking time with the Lord and worshiping. He got caught up in praise. He got caught up in singing in the Spirit. He got caught up in waiting on the Lord. And it was in that moment that the revelation came to him that God, he was in a place to be able to receive what God had for him. That phrase has been rolling around on the inside of me for so many years. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You can be in the Spirit every day. All you have to do is want to. Make these your non-negotiables in life. These are my non-negotiables. These are things that I will not deviate from. And when the battle heats up, you will walk in the power of His might and not faint. Have you seen the shirts and the caps that say "Tap Out"? Anybody seen those? Tap Out? Well, let me tell you something. Don't tap out, tap in. Okay? Tap. So many Christians need to come up with one that says "Tap In". I don't mess with them, huh? Tap in. We need to tap into the presence of God. Tap into His Spirit and allow Him to bring forth a victory in our lives. Amen? Praise God. Let's end in prayer.